This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Good evening. Welcome to Talking Devils, the leading independent Manchester United podcast. I'm your host, Wayne Barton, joined on this evening by Phil Marsh and not Lee Lawrence, but someone equally as handsome as Lee, Dave Murphy. Lee has been unavoidably detained, unfortunately, but I'm still delighted to be joined by some of my favourite people in the world to talk about Manchester United. If you're watching live on YouTube or Facebook, feel free to get your questions and your comments in. Sorry about the late start. If you're watching live on the replay, if you're watching the replay, feel free to say hello and comment. We do still reply to the comments and we get. If you're listening back on the audio podcast as well, please be sure to give us a comment, a review, and like and subscription on the review that you're listening on. Yeah, lads, we are going to talk about the FA Cup final day and the first ever Manchester derby in FA Cup final. Before I do that, it's been a while since I've talked to both of you. Phil, definitely a while since we've been doing the Friday night pods for one reason or another. You know, it's just never worked out for the last sort of 2 or 3 months, especially concerning with your rehabilitation at the moment. Not that that's the main reason I hastened to add there. Not putting the blame on Phil, it's been a thing where none of us have been able to sort of align the diaries. How are you doing? You all right?
Yeah, all good, mate. As I say, it has been a long while since we've been able to get on. So looking forward to having a catch up and having a bit of a chat about the football. Obviously, I've missed that. But yeah, as you said then, just had the surgery last week. So in a cast at the moment and sort of got a little bit of time on the sidelines. So I'll probably have a bit more time, to be fair, now, Wayne, to sort of do some podcasts. So there'll be no excuses really now for me to not be on the show. But yeah, no, all good, mate. As I say, it's a bit frustrating at the minute with obviously, you know, 8 weeks in a cast and not being able to get about and do the usual stuff. But as I say, I'm you know, enjoying it. The weather's nice and It's one of them things. I'd rather have it done now so I can get sort of back before the start of the season.
Yeah, getting our week of summer in Manchester, if that's not clear by the fact that I've got sun actually gazing through my window. Davo, how are you doing?
Yeah, not too bad. Nice morning here in California. So I can't complain about the sunshine, because nobody wants to listen back home. So, yep, all good. Ready to go. Excited to talk about the first Manchester FA Cup final. I'm winning it, obviously.
You're not going to be doing that for very long, are you? Loading it over us?
No, not at all. I'm moving back to Ireland in a couple of weeks. So that's where my time has been spent over the past month. Emptying a house, buying a house, selling a house, and shipping stuff back across the world. So it's been fun. That's why I'm in my son's room now, because we have no furniture and his bed is the only thing that I can sit on. So we're just living like homeless people in an encampment on air beds. And yeah, it's been fun for the past 3 weeks.
Yeah. Dave says 3 weeks, probably about 6 years they've been living like that. I'm joking. They're very nice. The Murphy family are very nice. Bad news for the listeners and viewers, of course, because hopefully you coming on will mean more of you on our podcast as well, because the time zones will align that very nicely. Yep. Right, before we start by the final, obviously the league season has concluded. United finished third in the table, victory over Fulham. It seemed fairly certain after we beat Chelsea the other night. Really nice sort of conclusion to the season, considering we had a little wobble after the Europa exit and the couple of injuries that we picked up. Phil, I'll come to you first. How are you feeling in terms of general health of Manchester United at the moment? I know the FA Cup final is going to give a different perception of how successful the season's been, but up until now, how would you assess the job that Ten Hag's done?
Fantastic. I think he's done, you know, he's overachieved by any stretch of the imagination. I think every United fan, when he first took over this year, would have been sceptical, especially after the start that we had, you know, the first couple of games, losing them two games, and in the fashion that we lost them games. To sort of turn around and sort of look at what we've achieved this season and where we are, you know, already a trophy in the bag. We finished top four, which was probably the main priority for all people concerned with the club this year, just in terms of a stepping stone to move forward. You know, to have already achieved those two things and still have another FA Cup final to come, as well as the progress, you know, numerous players have made under the manager this year. It's been a fantastic year. Obviously, there has been a couple of little wobbles, and you know, there has been periods in the season where we have struggled, and there's been a few results where, you know, we should have definitely done better. But overall, I think, you know, the job the manager's done and sort of, you know, the squad on the whole have been brilliant. And as you say, we have had, you know, a bit of bad luck with injuries and suspensions at times, and to still come through and sort of, you know, finish in the way we have, I think it's testament to everybody involved. Looking forward to obviously the FA Cup final on weekend, which, you know, would obviously be the cherry on the cake if we could, you know, do that, especially against City, who are on for the treble. You know, we'd love to sort of upset that and not let that, you know, be equal sort of from the 99. But yeah, you know, overall, I think the season's been fantastic, and I'm looking forward to obviously a couple of new signings coming through the door and sort of making, you know, a little slight improvement in certain areas that we're definitely lacking. And as I say, you know, we can kick on and hopefully the glory days are back in the sort of, you know, sights, if you like.
Yeah. Interesting. The season's not even concluded, really. United are linked heavily with a couple of players, a striker and a midfielder. Looking like they might get two of them over the line pretty soon, which is very surprising. But we do have to focus on the sort of running. There was a little bit of a wobble in the league. It looked at one moment like United might even struggle to get in the top 4 weeks. Liverpool had a good run of form, and everyone was, yes, kind of speculating that United were going to be the team to drop out. They were the most vulnerable with the run of form and the injuries that they had. But they picked it back up. They got through to the FA Cup final, of course, but they got through to the Champions League, finished third. There was the danger that if the form had continued to stumble in United, regardless of whether they got in the top four or not, if the form had continued to sort of stumble and, you know, like, let's say, being indifferent, and the last two wins have been draws, but they'd still managed to get in that top four, the picture would look fairly different now, regardless of what happens on Saturday. I think my personal opinion is, regardless of what happens on Saturday, and I know it's going to take up a big bulk of this podcast anyway, but regardless of that, it does still feel like it's a positive end to the season because of those couple of wins that we picked up and the way that we played football in those. It was really good performance as well. Maybe not for little periods of the game against Chelsea, but then when they looked vulnerable, we really looked like we were going to kill them off, and we scored four. And then it was a generally decent performance against Fulham to come back from losing in the first half the way that we did. Are you feeling positive about the way that we ended the season? Are you feeling like the way that we concluded everything is a really good representation of where we're at the moment?
Yeah, I mean, Phil hit on a lot of the points I was gonna go into as well. You know, the start of the season was atrocious. I think we were going to take a top four at the start of the season, and then after the two games, we would have taken a top six. So to finish in the top three, and the way that we finished with a couple of wins, yes, there was a bit of a wobble. Didn't overly concern me about Liverpool catching us per se, because, you know, our home form is exceptional. So, and I was going to make that point that, you know, even if we lose the cup final on Saturday, which I don't believe we will, but even if we do lose the cup final on Saturday, it shouldn't take away from a fantastic season that we have. You know, but I do know there will be a reaction from a section of our supporters that it ended on a bad note. You know, we'll use the old cliche: if you had presented me with a trophy and a third place finish at the start of the season, I would have taken your hand off. I think most people would. But there's always that thing where, you know, your final game is a cup final, and it can tend to take the shine off your season. For me personally, I don't think it will. I think we know our weaknesses. I think Ten Hag knows his weaknesses. He seems to be making moves in the market. Mason Mount looks like it could be a deal that could be done. I think that would be an absolutely fantastic signing. I just hope it doesn't drag on and on and on and on. And I think if we get someone like of Harry Kane's caliber into the team, we will push City. You got to remember, Arsenal pushed City all the way until the last month or so, and then they collapsed. I always felt that Arsenal didn't have the legs for it. I really didn't. But City can be pushed. We can see that. And if Harry Kane's scoring 30 goals for Tottenham, he'll get a hell of a lot. Harry Kane's achievement, 30 goals at Tottenham, for me was a massive achievement compared to Haaland's 36 at City. I personally believe that if Harry Kane had gone to Man City when he did, he'd be scoring 36, 40 goals a season as well. I honestly believe that. The one thing I like about Ten Hag is I think he recognises that we do have faults, and I think he recognises where the team is weak. My only concern, I've got two concerns for the summer. One is the sale of the club, because the transfer is going to hinge on that, what budget we have. You know, that hanging around is going to hinder us. And the second thing is getting enough players out of the club. We must have, you know, 10 to 12 players that need to be moved on. We know a couple of them will, but it's the ones that are still in contract is the ones that's going to cause us concern. Because the roll-on effect, the knock-on effect of that is, you know, all of a sudden your budget is a hell of a lot smaller if you can't get rid of some of these players. So, but to get back to your original question, I think it's been a very, very positive season. We've made huge strides. I mean, when you put it to last season compared to this season, it's night and day. It really is. Ten Hag has taken us to a different level. Not to the level that we want to be at, but I think he knows that. I think he does. And identifying players early on in the process, I hope he's learned from the Jong situation last summer, where that just took all summer. The guy wasn't coming. I don't think Ten Hag is going to wait around for many players this summer, because he knows he needs to get them in. But win or lose this cup final, for me, it was an absolutely fantastic season. There's more to come, and there's more levels for us to go up. But we've got a great foundation to build on from this season. So,
yeah, some really good points about the transfers. Obviously, that's going to be something that we come back to plenty of times over the summer. But I do feel, if you look at the first summer, considering it was first summer, the turnover of players was pretty great. And you probably expect something similar this time. So you're not going to see a manager who's afraid to be ruthless. The other thing is, a lot of people are on the fence about Mount. I don't speculate too much about a player that we haven't signed, but it does strike me a little bit like the Matic signing. It's a bit left field. It's not the one that most people would pick, but it's the one that the manager wants. He identifies what he wants in the team. And we really don't know how it's going to end up. He kind of does a lot of Eriksen things. I'm not saying he's as quality on the ball in terms of creating, but his movement is probably, well, it's not probably, is better than Eriksen's. And if he's a compliment in that kind of foil, he's obviously better on the ball than Fred and McTominay. You can't really quibble with what the manager's looking at. But yeah, that's going to be something to come back to over the summer.
I think, sorry, Wayne, I think one of the things we need to remember as well as supporters is that not every player that we're going to sign has to fit straight into the first 11. You know, those days are long gone. You know, with the amount of games that we play and the, you know, we've seen it this season, it was every 3 games or every 3 days we had a game. And it killed the players at one point when we had that major blip. It's no coincidence that when we started to have games 7 days apart, we started to kick on. And as well as that, you know, Phil said earlier on, we had some suspensions. I mean, we were missing Casemiro for 7 games. We were right at that tipping point with Arsenal when we lost Casemiro. And I honestly believe that we wouldn't have lost at Arsenal if we had him. And that could have changed our season and theirs at that point as well. But I do honestly believe that, you know, we need to get in better squad players. And Mason Mount is a very, very good squad player. If you're asking me, you know, would we prefer him or, you know, Sabitzer, who I like a lot, but, you know, his season ended badly, so I'm not sure whether they're going to hold on to him. McTominay or Fred, Mason Mount is top of the list there. And is that not what we want? We want a bigger squad. We want a better squad. So I think, you know, as supporters, we got to hold back. And I've seen, like you said, people are on the fence on Mason Mount. I'm not sure why. He's a quality player. He's 24, and he's going to be relatively cheap for what normally a decent English player goes for, let's be honest. 50, 60 million is probably going to be the price tag. So I'd take him in a heartbeat. I really would. He is a squad player. He's not a first. I don't believe he's a first 11 right now. But Eriksen is not getting any younger, neither is Casemiro. I don't see the point of us just believing that we should be buying players that would automatically go from 1 to 11. No team other than City and maybe PSV or PSG have that amount of money that they can have two squads, you know, one on the bench and one on the pitch. So,
yeah. It's interesting. You mentioned Casemiro missed 7 games with suspension, but he also missed a bunch of games, obviously signed late in the window. There was a period of acclimatization where people were saying it was going to be a flop like Van de Beek, if you remember, because he was not playing games. And I think we even asked a question on the podcast when he didn't start and everything like that. But he was obviously integrated wisely. That's reflective of the journey of the season. But yeah, part of the course with Manchester United, the start of the season, Ten Hag, I think it was Alison Rudd at the Times, she questioned his body language and things he was wearing. No, there was a bookmaker who closed odds on him getting sacked after the Brentford game. You know, there was a bookmaker offering favourable odds on United being relegated at the start of the season. So these are all part. Yeah, all right. It's sensationalised a bit because it's Manchester United, but this is the kind of thing that we're dealing with on a month-by-month basis. And you look at those kind of things, look at the Ronaldo affair, all these kind of things. And the way that the club have stood behind Ten Hag, his first season, so they were always going to do that anyway, but they did do it. And, all right, he made a little bit of noise about not getting backed in January the same way that some other clubs did. But I think he was just making the point that we didn't spend any transfer money. We brought in a few loans he had to economise, and we did it, and we got in the top three. And like you said, a massive, massive step forward from where we were this time last year, for sure. So let's talk about the FA Cup final. That's why we're all here. I want to sort of break it up into different parts. We're going to sort of talk about how we think the game's going to go and the team predictions that we each have for, you know, who we think is going to line up for United. But Phil, I'll come to you first. How big of an occasion is this? They've qualified for a number of FA Cups in the past. It's seen as the third biggest trophy after the Champions League and the league. But that happens on an annual basis when your team's competing on all fronts. When you're not competing on all fronts and when you're against the best team in the country at the moment, it feels like it symbolises something a little bit bigger, doesn't it? So it's a big game for United.
Yeah, it's a massive opportunity. I think, you know, as we've touched on there, you know, the hard work that the club's done, the manager's done, the players have put in this season, you know, it's a testament to them. And obviously this part of the season now is where you want to be and playing for the big trophies. As I said, we've ticked off the main two boxes for me this year in terms of what would have been a brilliant season, and that was top four and a trophy. You know, whether that would have been the Carabao or the FA Cup or Europa League, whatever, we've achieved that already. So I think for this now, I think it's maybe, you know, you could look at it as a free hit in some respects because, you know, you're playing against City, who's been, you know, absolutely unbelievable the last third of the season. You know, they've been blowing everyone away. I think, you know, they're the massive favourites. We're going in as underdogs, which I think will benefit us. But yeah, it's an opportunity for, you know, United to get another trophy. I actually feel quietly confident about the game. I just think that, you know, the way we finish the season, I think obviously City's going for the treble. He might have one eye on the Champions League game. And I've just got a funny feeling that, you know, that there's something that, you know, could maybe, you know, cause a bit of an upset. And for me, you know, that would be an outstanding season. Two trophies in the top four, you know, for Ten Hag in his first proper season, you know, is a massive, you know, achievement. And as we've said, it's a, you know, it's only the start, really. We've still got a long way to go. We've still got a lot of recruitment that needs doing in you know, terms of making the squad competitive and sort of so we can challenge on all fronts. But yeah, the foundation from this season would be unbelievable if we could, you know, get that FA Cup in the bag as well. You do obviously want to finish the season on a high. The last game of the season is always important. But, you know, from where we was at the start of the season to where we are now and what we've done, I think, you know, even if we did get beat, you know, you've got to sort of look at the bigger picture and sort of see that the season overall and on a whole has been, you know, a massive positive. And yeah, you know, we've just got to hope that the players can deliver on the big occasion. As I say, it's a one-off game. It's a cup final. It's a derby. You've got all them things to, you know, in put into consideration. A lot of players are in good form, you know, for both teams. I think it'll be a great game. I've sort of played around in my head a little bit with how I think the game's going to pan out. I think, you know, it could go, obviously, you know, a lot of ways. I think if we can keep City quiet for the first half an hour and just play our way into the game, I think that, you know, that we can go and win the game. And as I say, you know, we've got the players who can, you know, make a difference. You know, Rashford this year from last year where he was, you know, he's been absolutely sensational. And we've got players now playing with confidence. You know, Garnacho may get the nod. I think that's an interesting point. What I was going to say, we'll probably come on to that in a little bit about the starting teams. But obviously with Martial being, I think for me, you know, that's a game I'd, you know, give him a chance and hopefully he can, you know, go out there with a point to prove.
Yeah. Interesting thoughts there, Phil. Do you obviously see you wrap the league up fairly early in terms of what people were expecting? So the last couple of games they rotated the squad and I think it was the last three games they rotated the squad and came with some mixed results in terms of performance and actual results on the pitch as well. Is that going to have any kind of impact? So, you know, like, because there was
Yeah, I think, as you say, Wayne, I think it does. Obviously, you've got one eye on other competitions. If you're Manchester City, you know, you've got three titles that you was competing for, so you are going to have to, you know, shuffle the pack at times. But, you know, when you've just come off the back of losing your last game in the Premier League off Brentford, you know, you would have wanted to finish on a high, although the league was already wrapped up. You know, that still, you know, losing that game, you're going into another game, you know, now in a final where obviously players didn't play and there's going to be players coming back in to try and win that game. But, you know, I just feel as though Man United have got the impetus and sort of there's something that's just not sitting right with me that I think, you know, we are going to cause an upset. And obviously for City, you know, they want to win the treble. It's a massive game for them. You know, it's the second trophy in the bag if they win that and then they've got the Champions League, you know, the week or two later. So, yeah, they're going to be coming with a massive point to prove and they're obviously going to want to win that game. But for me, I've just got that, you know, a little feeling that we can, you know, cause an upset and get over the line, even if it's ugly. You know, it's a cup final. I just want to see the boys go out there and give it everything and hopefully we'll have enough to, you know, cause that upset. Because as I say, we are massive underdogs. The way City have played this last third of the season has been, you know, incredible, especially the game they played against Bayern Munich and sort of, you know, the Champions League games have been exceptional. So we know what they can do. But as I say, it's a derby, it's a one-off game.
Yeah.
Have it.
Yeah, it's difficult to sort of switch it on, switch it off, and a lot of people are going to be making comparisons about the treble, United's treble, and whatever ends up with City's season. And one of the biggest things that I thought was in United's favour is for that sort of loss, even from January, you might argue that every single game had so much pressure on it that there were performances all the time, they were required to turn up and deliver, especially that last 6 weeks. There was always something riding on it. Like, even when the game went to the second leg, there was always something riding on it. When the, you know, the semi-final, the final, every league game, it went to the last kick, not the last kick in the league, but the last sort of kick-ins in order to sort of get it over the line. And they had to win that last game, and that's not quite been the same for City. So, Dave, you're going to enjoy this because I know that you like me coming up with omens and different stuff like that. So I've got three different things for you. Two of them not quite so great. The one that I posted on Twitter earlier, that United have busted two treble hopes in the past, which were Liverpool in 77 and Everton in 85. Everton's wasn't the European Cup, it was a Cup Winners' Cup, but United stopped both of those by winning the FA Cup, and they could theoretically pull off a treble of Northwest treble busts by doing this. The other two, 9 previous games against City in the FA Cup, 2 of them, so United have won 6, City have won 3. 3 of those include two semi-finals, which are the furthest that the clubs have been. So 2 semi-finals, both won by City, both neutral venues, and both with United scoring, without United scoring a goal. So they kept clean sheets in both of those. Although one was like back at the start of the 20th century, and the other one was at the start of the Yaya Touré one a few years ago, when they went on to win the first FA Cup for a long time. And the final start, which you know that I like to dig for really obscure stuff. Phil, you might enjoy this. So if you go to every manager since Busby, well, including Busby and since Busby, every manager's first 2 Wembley Cup finals, and this is going to sound really pessimistic. Busby won his first and lost his second. Doherty lost his first and won his second. Atkinson won his lost his first and won his second. Ferguson won his first and lost his second. And Mourinho won his first and lost his second. So there isn't a trend of someone matching the same 2 results. And as we all know, Ten Hag won his first. What? If you like the FA Cup, you like all the sort of tradition and everything like that, I've thrown a few random stats at you. How are you feeling about the Cup? Are you feeling a little bit more optimistic than what I am, considering all that sort of crap I've just thrown at you?
Well, I mean, I'm glad you spent the last 4.5 minutes explaining that, because it means absolutely nothing to me, because we're going to beat City on Saturday. That's my honest opinion. And I know when we were talking yesterday and you were rolling out that 1-1 loss one, I'm like, why are you like this? Why do you want to do this to me 3 days before the Cup final? I don't want to know about who won and who lost. It all comes down to Saturday. That's all. That's all I care about. No, it is a very interesting stat. It is, you know, but you know, these things are there to be broken. So Ten Hag is going to break that on Saturday. I'm a little bit different to Phil in how I think the game will go. I think our best chance with City is to just, from the word go, just attack. I really do. I think if we try and sit back and listen, I get it. I get trying to keep them calm for 30 minutes and stuff like that, and trying to just keep it at a pace that we can control. But I think with City, they become so used to teams doing that these days. And with Jack Grealish and with Kevin De Bruyne, and you know, they just have players that can unlock you. That's why I personally, when we get onto the teams, I would have Wan-Bissaka in that team right away for Grealish. But I think our best plan is to just go at City right from the get go, and try and nick a goal and then put it back onto City. Any games that City have kind of lost that I've watched, I don't watch them that often. They tend to kind of, you know, not kind of show up after they go a goal or so down. That, obviously, there has been games where they've come back and annihilated teams. But for the most part, when I've seen City get beat, the heads kind of drop. And you know, Phil, this is really a question for you. You know, you put yourself, you perform a professional football for Manchester United. You put yourself in that position, okay? You've got an FA Cup final on Saturday. You're a first 11 player. You get picked. You've got a Champions League final, you know, on Wednesday. Are you really going to go hell for leather? Are you going to put in that, surging lunge? Are you going to go in for those hard 50-50s? I got to believe a lot of players that are going to be in that starting 11 will have their mind set on that game on Wednesday, because the treble means everything to the supporters. I'm not so sure it means everything to the players. I really don't. I think a Champions League final is what means everything. A World Cup final, Champions League final, I believe that's what players strive for. And if you've got an opportunity on Wednesday, and I think that's where we can take an advantage. You know, I know we are massive underdogs. Sorry?
Yeah. It's the following Saturday.
Oh, sorry, following Saturday. You're really not going to, you know, that's my personal belief. I mean, I'd like to get some feedback from Phil. I mean, does that play in the back of your mind when you've got a massive game, which you've got, in my opinion, the second biggest football game you're ever going to play in, which is a Champions League final? No disrespect to any other continents that have their own versions, but the Champions League final in Europe, to me, is only second to the World Cup final. Will these players have a you know, that in the back of their mind of, I ain't going to get injury, you know, I don't want to mess myself up and miss on an opportunity that I may never come around again?
Yeah, I think it's a good point. I think, obviously, as you say, it's hard not to sort of have one eye on that Champions League final. I think, as you said, that's the pinnacle for, you know, especially at club level, for any player really to play in that. I think it depends on the type of player and the character really of the player. I think, you know, there's different players. Like for me personally, I would not have any eye on any particular game. I just want to give everything in every single game that I ever played in, whether it be a final or whether it be a pre-season friendly. I think, you know, at the level that some of these players are playing at now, obviously with the money and the sort of what's at stake, that is slightly different. But again, I think you'll have certain players who will feel that, and just, you know, regardless of what the game is, they'll want to give 100%. They won't shirk a tackle. They won't mind, you know, if, you know, it means they potentially could miss the game because they just want to win that game, and they're sort of in that moment. It doesn't really come into play. However, I can understand where you're coming from, and I think there is certain players who, you know, would love to just coast through that game on the weekend, and, you know, everything goes swimmingly, and then the, you know, feeling great for the final a couple of weeks later. It is an interesting point, really. As I say, I think a lot of players, you know, the ones who certainly I play with, and I get football has changed a little bit now.
Yeah.
You know, the game has come on a little bit in terms of, you know, this generation doesn't really sort of seem to have the different characters that, especially when I was at the club, you know, your Roy Keane's and people like that. You know, you was made to, you know, play every single game like it was your last, and, you know, you had to put everything out there regardless of, as I say, whether it was a pre-season game or if it was a, you know, Champions League final. But yeah, this day and age, I think, you know, the way that the game's gone and sort of certain players nowadays, you could be quite right with that. And I think that's why it is a massive opportunity for us. And I have got that little sort of sneaky feeling that, you know, we can upset them, because, as you say, it's hard not to sort of look at that game in a couple of weeks' time. And, you know, as you say, you know, some of them players are probably going to have one eye on that, and it could be a massive, you know, thing that we could take advantage of.
Let's get to the teams, lads. All right, so we've got a couple of comments in here. Matthew, evening, mate. Oh, you're doing well. He says, do we get Fred to sit on De Bruyne or Casemiro to control the game? And Richard says, City or bounce a man mark Casemiro. Now, in the home game where we won 2-1, that's exactly what we did. We put Fred on De Bruyne, and Casemiro played really well. Bruno played wide right. I would be tempted to do something similar. There's a question over where you play Shaw. Do you play him as centre back, and do you play Hello or Malassi on that side? I would want to start Wan-Bissaka on the right, and I think probably go with Dalot on the left and Shaw in the middle. I don't know what you got, and I'm just giving my team before it comes to you guys.
You don't want us to win, right?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm just wondering why you're playing Dello.
I just think he's been in good form. He's played well from the left in different games. I think he's probably playing at a little higher level than Malacia at the moment. And there's one more game to go, so he'd be in that pick in there. I know that Ten Hag might well fancy Malacia for that natural balance on that side, considering that's what he's done in the past. In midfield, I think Casemiro, Fred, and probably Eriksen, even though Eriksen might well tire on a big pitch, and then Bruno from the right and Rashford in the middle. And I would probably start with, I don't know, you two will probably disagree with this, I'd start with Sancho on the left. My reason being that we don't have much from the bench that's going to change the game. And I feel like in the last few weeks, that's the role that he's used Garnacho in, that the player is going to change the game from the bench. And I think if you're going to go, the choice seems obvious to me that it's between, because I don't think Anthony's going to be fit as much as he's tried to bluff that. I think the choice is between Sancho and Garnacho. And if you're asking Sancho to come off the bench, I don't think he can make a difference.
Yeah.
Off the bench. But I think Sancho's actually played a little bit better lately. I'm not saying that I expect him to be brilliant in the cup final. I just think if you're in the position where you need to make a change, that's the obvious one. So that's my team. Obviously, De Gea in net, although some cads might have you and say that you play someone else, the amount of criticism that he gets online. Phil, what's the 11 that you're picking if you're the manager on Saturday for the final?
Pretty much the same team as you went, actually. I think the only difference, sort of potentially two tweaks I might make, is obviously the situation with Luke Shaw there. You know, does he play Luke Shaw left back and then obviously have Varane and Lindelof or Maguire? Or does he play Dalot and play Luke Shaw at centre half? I sort of couldn't really make my mind up on that myself. But yeah, other than that, I think, you know, pretty much the same midfield. And I said obviously at the start of the pod about Garnacho, I think I want him to start me on Saturday. Just for the reasoning of, you know, Sancho has improved a little bit this season, but, you know, when he's coming up against, you know, some of these defenders, you know, like the Kyle Walkers and stuff, I think, you know, for me, I think, you know, Garnacho is someone, when he has come on, he's made a massive impact and he gets at players and he can beat a man. He's really positive. And I think the way City are going to play, I think he could be someone who we could utilise in terms of on the counter-attack, get the ball out to him. And he's not afraid. He's shown that on numerous occasions this year that he's not afraid to, you know, drive into the box, get, you know, get to the byline, put a ball in. He can cut inside as well and get shots off. I think with Sancho, he's been a bit more reluctant to sort of do that, and he doesn't really sort of get past his man. And although his play looks quite tidy and pretty, and he can keep the ball a bit better, but I think in this game, we are going to need someone who's going to, you know, have a bit more of a cutting edge and be able to beat a man in one-on-one situations in order to create chances. And I think, you know, if we line up with, you know, Garnacho and Rashford up there, you've got two players there who can do that in abundance.
Yeah. Also, I should say, I think Fred lost De Bruyne. Oh, that might be a bit fair. De Bruyne lost Fred to set up the goal for City in the game at Old Trafford, even though, you know, United did come back and win. And that was a little bit critical on Fred, because he generally played well in that game. Richard also says there, Palestri we've got on the bench, which is fair, but I think I would like to have seen him given more of a chance. I think he played some minutes against Fulham, but not really much else of late. If it is, I know that you were disagreeing with me there about Dalot, but the rest of the side, Phil makes a better point than what I did, really, that he's going to, because he's a former pro. But United, basically starting with the best team, and I mean, I can remember when we played them in September, we were 6-1 down. So by the time he's making changes, he's there to say this. And that's really the catch-22 where we're at. It's all right saying, and I'm destroying my own argument with it. It's all right saying you want to have changes to make later in the game to try and change the impetus, but you've still got to be in that game to win it. So I'm guessing you're of the inclination, knowing you as I do, to start with the best team and start with Garnacho. But where else do you make the changes? Who are you picking as your 11?
I mean, at the back, you know, obviously De Gea, Wan-Bissaka. For me, it's Varane and Lindelof, centre-backs. I think the pairing together, I think Lindelof, and I'm not going to turn this into a couple of minutes of bashing Harry Maguire, but we haven't seen the best of Lindelof with Maguire's partnership, let's be honest. I think he's hindered him. He's made him look more vulnerable than what he is. What we're seeing right now over the past, since, you know, Martinez got injured, what we're seeing is the real Lindelof that we saw many years ago. I think he's an absolutely fantastic player. I really do. I just think he needs a good centre back with him. And in either Varane or Leicester, I think he has that. And we're starting to see that now. So for me, that's the pairing I would go with. Lindelof has been absolutely phenomenal the past couple of games. He really, really has. He's come in and he's shone. And then Luke Shaw for me is people can argue with this on me, but I think he's still the best left back in England. I really do. I think he's a fantastic player and that's his best position. Yeah, when he's moved into centre back, he's done a phenomenal job. And that just shows you how good of a defender he is. But that would be my four. The midfield, I would keep pretty much the same. I think Fred is crucial to this game. I really do. He's just got to be a spoiler. That's what he has to do. He just has to stay with De Bruyne and he has to just stop that flow. Yeah. And as you pointed out, you know, De Bruyne did make the goal at Old Trafford, but to keep a player of that quality quiet for 89 minutes is a phenomenal job. You're never going to keep players at that quiet for the whole game. It's very, very rare. And we can't get Park Ji-sung back. So, you know, we'll have to stick with Fred. And then up front, you know, I'm caught between a rock and a hard place here. I think Sancho has improved a lot. I think defensively, Sancho offers more than Garnacho. And we have to think about that as well. But, you know, I'll contradict myself and by saying at the start of this that I think we should go at City right from the beginning, right from the get-go. And if we're going to do that, we need Garnacho. We really do that. The boy he's just unbelievable. There's no fear in him. They don't know what to expect from him. And obviously with Rashford up front, but I would definitely go with Garnacho to start. And like you said earlier on, Wayne, you know, who do we have on the bench to bring on? Well, maybe it's an opportunity where we're bringing players on to not win the game. It's to see out the game. And that's where Sancho, I think, would be better than Garnacho, because Garnacho's instinct is to just, you know, charge. I think Sancho is a little bit more disciplined because he has a hell of a lot more years under his belt as a professional. So that would be my thinking. I'm sad that Anthony probably won't make it. I think he'll make the bench. Because, you know, I love that guy. I think there's a player, there's a really, really, really world-class player in there. And we'll get it out of him. So that would be my team. But I did want to talk about something you just hit on right at the end of it, is Pulisic. I mean, he came on the other day and he was, oh my God, he was phenomenal for a few minutes. I mean, what is the deal with this guy? Why can't he get a run in the team? Why can't he get a starting spot? Why can't he get more minutes? Not that I want to jump away from the FA Cup final, but you mentioned the player. If to me, it's very baffling that he's not getting any more time than what he's getting a minute here, 2 minutes there. Even when we're winning games well, he's not being brought on. Obviously, that leads to rumblings on social media about that, you know, in training, he's not putting in 100%. There's a bit of a Dele Alli in him there. You know, he doesn't want to, he's not committed. I don't see that when he comes on, though, you know. I mean, Phil, I want to ask you that question first. Yeah. I mean, what's the deal?
Yeah, I agree. I think obviously he's done everything he can, and I don't think, you know, the training situation comes into it. I just think at the moment, because we've got an influx of players who are, you know, ahead of him on paper, in them positions that he's playing, I think he's just finding it hard to get sort of, you know, regular minutes because we have got such a sort of big influx of players in them positions. But I think what will be massive for him is obviously, you know, this pre-season, if he can knuckle down, get his head down and prove and keep showing up well, you know, come the start of next season, he could be someone who could surprise people in terms of he could come in and be the player who's maybe a bit of a dark horse who's starting at the start of next season. Because, you know, some of the players obviously who've been playing there, you know, we just touched on Sancho and people like that, you know, they've come in for a lot of money. But, you know, if you're not pulling up trees and you're not, you know, performing on a consistent basis and to the level that we need and the manager expects, you know, there's got to be, he's proven time and time again, he's not afraid to, you know, make big decisions and, you know, give people opportunities when they're, you know, warranted. So, for me, I agree. He has had some really good cameos this season. He's come on and you know, looked really well, shown up great. I think he's just been a little bit unlucky with, you know, the sort of type of players that have been maybe ahead of him on paper this year. But again, I think, you know, massive preseason for him coming up. And if he can show up well in that, then for me, he could be someone who maybe, you know, gets the nod. And he will play a lot more next season. I think it's just timing, really.
So Richard had also mentioned, and this has crossed my mind over the past few weeks, you know, is this the crown and glory for Beghurst to get the winner and leave, you know, on a massive, massive high? Because I don't think any of us are under the impression that, you know, that he is going to get a contract and he is good enough for Manchester United. But the refreshing thing about the guy is he busts it good every single time. And we know over the past 4 or 5 years, we've had players that had all the talent in the world, but they hadn't got 1 ounce of fire in their belly. And that's what disappointed us a lot. You know, we complained a lot about certain players who just had the God-given talent to be one of the best, and they chose not to. If Beghurst is kind of on the flip of that, he'll run through a wall, he'll run through a pole. I mean, he'll do whatever he has to do. God, I feel for the guy. He gets the winner on Sunday or on Saturday. For me, that would be the icing on the cake for this season, for the rewards that he's put in there, because there's no way we're giving him a new contract. But he doesn't have the God-given talent of a lot of these players that we've had in the past, but what he has over them is his enthusiasm and his energy and the fact he just wants to win at all costs. And that's what I love about the guy. So, Rich, yeah, I'm in sync with you there. I think Woot gets on the end of it in the last minute and wins it for United. So.
Yeah, well, I said that the week. And,
what a story that would be if he scored that goal. I mean, as you say, you know, we've seen it all season. He's not, you know, a prolific goal scorer. He's not really technically what we need in that position. But as you said, he can, you know, work the line well. He runs his socks off. His attitude's spot on. You know, the fans find him infectious because of that. And that just shows really a lot of the sort of, you know, the things the bare minimum in terms of when you cross that white line. You know, you put a shift in, you play for the badge, you play for your teammates, you play for the fans, you do the right things, you put your body on the line, and you know, regardless of, you know, the technical side of the game, fans will come and respect you and come and cheer you on just purely based on that. And that's been proven with the likes of him. You know, regardless of, you know, the technical side of the game, he's proved that, you know, you can, you know, do something in a game and have an impact on a game by just working hard. And I think, you know, for me, obviously the opportunities that he's had this year and the amount of chances he's had that he should have scored, and, you know.
He missed an absolute sitter against Fulham. I mean,
he's missed, you know, so many good chances that any other probably striker in the league would have, you know, put away. But as you said, you know, when you compare him to someone like your Martial's, you know, completely different spectrums in terms of Martial's technical ability is far superior. But with the work rate that Weghorst, I think United fans would have more sort of, you know, respect and sort of, you know, would want him to do well because of the pure work rate and the passion. So, yeah, you know, if that was to happen at the weekend, it'd be a fantastic story and a great way. And it would be rewarding for him because, as you say, you know, he isn't intentionally missing chances. He isn't intentionally not doing, you know, what we need him to do as a striker for Man United. But his attitude and the way he puts himself about on the pitch, and obviously he seems like a really nice guy as well. You know, that would be a nice, you know, swan song for him.
I mean, even looking back to the League Cup final, I mean, you know, after we'd won it, he was still running down the field, sliding on his knees in front of the fans and all. And that's what we want. We love it.
Kid who doesn't even believe that he should be there. And he can't. You know, he's won a ticket to play for Man United. But, do you know what I mean? That's the way it comes across. And it's brilliant because, you know, he's just giving everything every week. And he probably knows, hand on heart, he's not good enough to be at Man United. He's not good enough to, you know, be up front, and he's not what we need. But he's giving everything to sort of still, you know, just be accepted, if you like. And I think me, it'd be a brilliant way for him to leave the club, because you can see how much the club means to him. And, you know, he's definitely got a good connection with the fans because of the way he puts himself and he comes across. So, yeah, that would be the icing on the cake, yeah, especially for him personally.
I think it's a nice way to close the pod. But it's an interesting point you say that, Phil, that, you know, he's not what United need, but maybe he is.
I know. When I said he's not what United need, I meant in terms of, you know, that quality number nine.
Yeah, the quality, but in terms of everything else, like you mentioned there, all the stuff with the attitude. The application and all that sort of stuff, that they're the things that everyone was questioning 12 months ago, and those are the things that he's brought in spades. And if we see that from the 11 or the 14 or 16, however many can take to the pitch these days, if we see that from them all on Saturday, then we're not going to have a complaint regardless of the result. And I think that's the big thing for United this time round. And I think, you know, if we're all fairly optimistic on this podcast, and I think we would have, at the start of the season, we would have probably, if we were to revisit the predictions, we would have said we'd like to win a cup, get to a cup final and finish in the top four. I think that would have been what we would have kind of hoped for, to get into two cup finals. One's already in the bag, and to see United playing the way that you know that they're going to play, win or lose, you know that the way that they're going to approach the game is going to be right. That's all that we can ask for, really. And it does feel like, for the first time, we've said this a couple of times, when we've got to cup finals, because cup finals can give you that kind of rosy atmosphere to think further down the line. We thought, like Van Gaal, I think we've both, you and I, Dave, definitely for sure with Van Gaal, we thought, you know, it feels a lot more like United, because it felt like they were backs against the wall and Van Gaal was like leading that commando charge. And under Mourinho, something similar. Under Ollie, we felt we wanted to feel that way because it was Ollie. But and maybe this is the same kind of thing. Maybe I'm just getting carried away, but it feels like there's something a lot more substantial there, something significant that we're moving forward as a club. And sometimes, and I include Arsenal in this, sometimes it can feel like you've gone too far, like you've shot high, you've aimed high. There's nothing wrong in that, but you've got ahead of yourself, and it's given a perception that you're further forward, you're further in front of your development than what you actually are. And Arsenal fans are probably in that middle delusion now, where they think, you know, they think that they're all further forward, that they're going to be challenging all the time. The reality is that they're probably going to have some kind of regression. Whereas United, I think most of us sensible to know where we are, how far we've come, and how far there is still to go. And we mentioned it right at the top. Are we as good a team as today? Probably not. But can we beat them on a day? We absolutely can. And is the point about winning the league title playing City 38 times? No, it isn't. It's about playing them twice and accumulating the points over the other 36 games. And that's where Ten Hag's trying to find the solutions. Having said that, it doesn't matter how many times we play anyone in the league, but it's City once in the FA Cup final on Saturday. And certainly, talking to Dave and Phil tonight, I feel a lot more optimistic about our chances on Saturday. I'm pessimistic, but you guys are certainly more positive than I've been. I'm going to stop short of asking you for your predictions. I think you both want United to win, but I'm not going to put you on the spot because they can come back and bite us. But hopefully over the next week, we'll all reconvene to talk about it, pick the bones out of it either way. If you're watching live on YouTube or Facebook, feel free to get your comments in after the event. If you're watching on the replay, we can still comment and reply to those comments. And if you're listening back on the audio podcast as well, be sure to subscribe and leave a review on the platform that you're listening on. Thanks a lot, guys. Traveling down for the final, enjoy it and safe travels. If you're watching it wherever you are in the world, really enjoy it. We have a great day on Saturday, and we'll be back with various shows through next week. I'll be back with Paul. Harry will be back with the other, with Stephen and Peter on Monday night to talk about the game. And hopefully Dave and Phil and Lee will be back at some point next week as well, and we'll convene and talk about the final and preview the summer's activities. Until then, guys, stay safe, stay well. Thanks for listening and thanks for watching.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.